Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, my name is Clayton, and I'm a lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us today. We got to celebrate baptisms, which is awesome, and we're going to get to open up God's Word together this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18. That's where we're going to be at today. You know, this week I was scrolling through my phone on social media, and I came across this group of pictures of some of our church members, and it was pretty awesome. In fact, their families here today, but two of our college students got engaged. One of them, his name is Jace, and he is their family's in the background there. He's my son's roommate at OU, and him and his girlfriend Faith got engaged, and it was awesome. I looked at their pictures, and they had the engagement pictures that you see all the time, and it looked just like an awesome moment, authentic. They were kind of off on their own. Someone was taking pictures from far away, and they just had this intimate moment together where he got down on one knee and proposed, and it was pretty cool. And so we're celebrating you guys. That was pretty awesome. Let me just say this. It reminded me of one of the things that's going on in our culture today, and it is like there's an issue with the whole proposal thing going on, right? There are these crazy idea of having this perfect proposal. And you want everybody to see it. And in fact, I've heard horror stories. Like, you used to have you wanted that perfect wedding ceremony. The woman has been thinking about her whole life. Well, now it's all about the proposal. And so the dude, I mean, he's just nervous. He's been practicing. He's getting down on one knee, and he's got the ring out, and he's just trying to win the girl, you know? And the girl is like, hold up. I got to bring in the camera crew, okay? Let's get the lighting just right. We got the sun going down. Okay, I need you to rehearse your lines. Do it over again. We want to make sure this is perfect. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's all over the place. That's what's going on today. It's kind of silly and kind of funny, but I was thinking about this. Yes, it's a real proposal, even doing it that way, but it's also very well-crafted. Like, this highlight doesn't show everything, just shows what they want you to see. Well, this month, we're going to be talking about some things like that. Not talking about marriage proposals. But we're going to be talking about this idea of what is your highlight reel. Your highlight, not a reel, but like what is actually true and real in your life. Because too many of us, and I would say probably all of us, we try really hard to fake out the world from the real life that we're living. Back in Jesus' day, the same thing was happening. In fact, Jesus dealt with the same kind of people who were faking it. And one of the best ways that he used to teach his people was through parables, stories that have a biblical principle behind them. And he spent a considerable amount of time addressing people that were living fake lives, because God truly wants every single one of us to live authentic lives. And so Luke chapter 18 is going to teach us. We're going to look at one of these parables that Jesus had. So I'm going to have it on the screen here, but it starts in verse 9, and here's what it says. Luke's writing, kind of setting the scene. He says, then Jesus told the story or a parable to some who had, get this, who had great confidence in their own righteousness, how good they thought they were compared to everybody else. And not only that, they scorned everyone else. These people back then have the same problem that we have today. You want to know what the problem is? Here's the problem. We work hard to look better than we actually are, right? We work really hard, whether that's online or in front of other people, even between us and God, we work really hard to make ourselves look pretty good. I want to look good, but also one of the best ways to make someone look good is make yourself look good, is make other people look bad, you know? I call that being self-absorbed. And every one of us, we deal with this. We like to highlight what is great in our lives. We want to filter out the bad stuff. Don't look at that. Don't worry about that. Just look at the good side of what I want you to see in my life. And also, we have great hobbies. A lot of us do. But one of the best hobbies we have is being critical of other people, you know? Here's the best way I can show you that we're critical of other people. If you just, what do you scroll for when you're on social media? When you're looking at news, what do you try to find? I think a lot of times we try to find what's messed up with other people. It's why I love police chase videos. Anybody else? I don't know. I can't get enough of them. My wife's like, yep, that's like all he watches. And he's home. I love watching those. Because like, what is going on in that person's life? They think they can run from the cops. They have radios, guys, right? Like, what is going on? And honestly, if I was thinking about it, it's because in some ways, they have an issue that I don't have, you know? And just to be transparent, that makes me kind of feel good that I don't have their life, you know? Oh, it sounds terrible. But we do that sometimes, right? Look, that mindset is actually messing up the life that God wants us to have. When we're trying to compare ourselves to other people, trying to make ourselves look better than other people, this was going on back then, and Jesus has something to say to them, and so he has something to say to us. So here is the parable in verse 10. Starts off Jesus' words here. Here's what he says. It says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. And everybody in the crowd, when Jesus said it, was like, oh my goodness. So let's talk about these two different people. One was a Pharisee. Pharisee, cream of the crop, religious leaders, the most educated, the most religious. They did everything by the book. They were meant to be at the temple. And everybody was like, oh yeah, that's where the Pharisees are supposed to be. They're supposed to be at the temple. But there's also this other guy he's the tax collector. And the tax collector was the scum of the earth. He was the traitor in that culture. The Pharisee fit and the tax collector did not fit at all in the scenario. But here's what Jesus does. Jesus reveals each man's heart. And he starts off with the Pharisee. Let's look what he says. He says, the Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed this prayer. Now we can't just read this as if we're just reading through it. We gotta act this out, okay? So here's how he did it. He was like, in front of everybody, where everybody could hear, he's like, I thank you, God, that I am not like all these people sitting out here, okay? I'm not a cheater, a sinner, or adulterer. I'm certainly not like that tax collector up on that back row over there, okay? I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Did everybody hear that? Right? That's what the Pharisee was doing. Now think about this. Did you notice that his standard isn't God? It's other people. And how he compared to other people. And the truth is, we haven't changed a bit. We say things like, look, I'd never do what that person did. My marriage isn't great, but at least it's not like theirs. I have my struggle, but thank goodness I don't have that struggle. I mean, I'm so thankful that my kids aren't, and you fill in the blank. Here's the truth, they probably are, you just don't know about it, okay? What's happening when we're doing that? When we're doing that, what we're doing is we are comparing them. Here's a great truth for this morning. Comparison is the favorite filter of the self-absorbed. We love to do it. We compare ourselves to other people. And what we do is we filter out what others see and what they don't see. What gets highlighted and what gets hidden from other people. We filter out our bad, okay? But we also like to filter out everybody's good. We don't want them to show all everybody else's good because it makes us look weaker. We want people to see the best of us and the worst in other people. And we also stage our lives so that people just see a certain version of who we truly are. A couple weeks ago, I went to Costco. Anybody Costco fans around here? Okay, all right. So Sam's Club fans? Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I'm at Costco. I went to get some chicken and almonds and socks. Okay, so that's a good combination at Costco. But I had to walk around everywhere. So I don't know about you. I like to walk around and see what they have. And so I'm walking around. And I saw something. I was like, that is meant for me. And I have to show the world. And so I took this picture. I want to show you this picture I put on social media. Here's what it says. Costco has everything I need. And it's got the hair growth, right? I mean, woo, look at that. I'm still trying it out. I don't know. It's not working. But I took this picture. But honestly, the funny part about this picture is what's in the background, you know? Like in the background, $39.99, we got some adult diapers right there. The Costco's got everything I need, right? Now, that's pretty funny. But here's the truth. That was not spontaneous. I mean, I saw that. I planned it. I walked over to it. I waited until people were out of the way. Get out of my way. I'm trying to take a picture over. Okay. This was picture number 7, okay? I had to like filter them out. So I got one. I was like, I actually like this one. This was good. It's funny, but it was staged, right? It's all staged for that laugh or how people respond to it. I need to take this off because it's going to ruin the rest of the sermon. Okay, so look, some of us have gotten good at staging our spiritual lives as well. We want people to see just a certain version. We crop out certain things. We get that picture nice and tight so they can't see everything else going on in our life. And we like to show everybody the Sunday version of ourselves. We like to show people the small group version of ourselves, the religious version of ourselves. And here's the big one. Some of us like to only show the pastor is standing next to you version of yourself. You know what that is? Like you're on your best behavior. Well, the pastor's right next to me. Like I'm not a real person. You know? I got the same problems that you do. We want only people to see a certain version of ourselves. And we crop out anger. We crop out lust. And pride and jealousy and bitterness and materialism and secret habits that we're living in. And we're cropping out a dying relationship in our family that we don't want people to know about and the cold heart that we have sometimes towards other people. No one wants to see that. I don't want to show you that. That was the Pharisee. That's who the Pharisee was. And he was so great at staging his spirituality that here's the saddest part. He eventually started believing it. He believed a lie. And the most dangerous fake that you and I can do towards ourselves is believing that our own goodness makes us right with God. We'll start believing it. But it doesn't. It doesn't make you right. In fact, the gospel is that only Jesus, a perfect Savior who came down to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross to pay for your sins, he's the only one that can make you right between a holy God and a sinful you. In fact, the Bible talks about it all the time in Titus 3:5. Here's what it says. It says that he saved us, not yourself, not your good works, not your Pharisee kind of life. No, Jesus saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Not because of us, but because of him. And the Pharisees didn't get it. And that Pharisee kind of life is really dangerous. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. He gives us a better life to live. And we see it through the tax collector of all people. Look what happens in the next verse. Jesus goes on and says, but the tax collector, he stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. One man had his chin up in front of everybody, and the other guy just had his eyes down and didn't want to make eye contact with anybody. One guy's like, look at me. And the other guy is, look at me. This Pharisee, he was the guy that's up on stage. He's the guy that's got the light just right, got his blonde eyebrows done really nice so people can see his preaching table that he made a little bit shorter so he looks taller. I mean, just super hypothetical. I mean, just random, just making that up. Sorry. That's terrible. He was doing it for show, right? So that people could see a certain version of himself that he didn't want anybody else to see. And the tax collector is the guy that didn't even feel worthy to be in your seat. He's back in the back as the door just kind of cracked open. In humility, he's just trying to catch a glimpse of God. Look, he had nothing to brag about. He had no resume to lay in front of God. All he laid in front of God was, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And that teaches us something really important today. It teaches us this, that real life that you want, it begins when you stop pretending. It's when you stop pretending that you're good and that they're bad and you're better than them. It begins when you stop pretending with God and with other people. And you just be honest with people and in front of God about who you truly are. All your faults, all your mess ups, and your desire to be saved by him and redeemed by him and refined daily by him. In fact, one of the best examples of this is Paul. So Paul writes all these letters in the New Testament, and it's really interesting to kind of watch his progression and the deepening of his faith as he grows in his faith. And towards the end of him writing his letters, towards the end of it all, he wrote some letters to Timothy, okay? And so this is one of these letters that he writes towards the end of his spiritual journey. He says this in 1 Timothy 1:5. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying, guys, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus, he came into the world to save sinners." And he finishes off his statement by saying, "And I am the worst of them all." Look, that is spiritual maturity right there. That is Paul towards the end of his life recognizing that the closer that he got to Jesus, the less impressed he was with himself. You know? He realized just how dirty he was. He realized just how much of a sinner he was. He realized his everyday need for a Savior. That is honesty. And look, you and I, we have a hard time doing that sometimes. We have a hard time being honest. Instead, what we like to do is we like to create some good, I'm going to call them Christian highlight reels for your life. We got the marriage reel of, look, hey, we're doing great. We walk in arm, but nobody knows we haven't really talked in a week, okay? We got those of us with the parenting reel. We want people to see a certain way that we parent. And so it's Easter. We show up and we got the booth out there in the lobby to take a family photo. And you're like, get over here. We got to take a picture. Okay, everybody say Jesus together, right? Like, I mean, but no one sees the anger in the car ride before you got here. A lot of us have this spiritual reel that we want people to see, that we open up our Bibles at home and got the lighting just right, and get the wind blowing in our hair, and the fan, where that came from. And we got music playing, and we got the camera set up, and we're like, oh, I didn't see you there. Oh, just reading my Bible like I do every day, right? And we want people to see a certain version of ourselves, but we don't want them to see that there's very little surrender that's going on. Now, some of you guys are like, you haven't gotten to me yet. Okay, I'm getting to you right here, okay? There's also what I call the morality reel. You walk around, either out loud or in your heart, and you say, look, I don't do that. I don't drink that. I don't watch that. I don't do those things that other people are doing. Look at me. And you may not do those things, but deep down inside in your heart, there's enormous pride just eating away at you. Let me say something that's going to step on some toes today. Sometimes the easiest place to hide from God is behind a good Christian life. You're not truly honest. Come to church. You have this front that you put out in front of everybody else. You don't want people to see how you really are. You want to live that separate life and want everybody to see a certain version of yourself. And, look, that affects you and God, too. If we're to be honest with ourselves, that affects our relationship with the Lord. We can't be honest with him. Jesus, he saw that in the Pharisees. And he called him out on it. In fact, I want to read some fighting words, okay, that Jesus had. Jesus said this in Matthew 23. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." No wonder they wanted to kill him, right? I mean, come on. He says, "You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, look, those tombs are just full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." He turns around and says, "In the same way, on the outside of yourself, you appear to people as righteous, as good, as living this perfect life, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." He says, "Woe to you." That is scary. It was so serious to Jesus that he was willing to call those people out. The best of the best, the people that looked the best on the outside. God doesn't want that for your life. In fact, God wants something different. And Jesus wants to tell it to you. And he tells it to you in the next verse of our parable today. Jesus finishes with this verse 14. In the first half, he says this, "I tell you, this sinner," the one in the back, not the Pharisee, not the guy up on stage where everybody can see, "this guy, this sinner returned home justified before God. Now, that is one of the most churchy words that we can use, okay? So let me try to explain that to us in the most simple version. Here's what being justified before God looks like. It's when you and God are different. Your relationship is different, and God says, hey, look, we're all right. You and me, we're all right. Not because of what you've done, but because of the blood of Christ. We're all right. What's been broken has been put back together. That's what it means to be justified. And this tax collector, he brought nothing to the table. He brought nothing to this relationship. No list of accomplishments, no empty promises, just this desperate need to be saved. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Look, salvation, you gotta get this, salvation, it isn't a good person getting God. It's a guilty person getting a Savior. That's what salvation is. Not you bringing all your goodness in front of God and he says, oh man, congratulations, come on in into my relationship. Come on into heaven because of what you've done. No, that's not what salvation is. Salvation is when a sinner recognizes their need for a Savior and gets on their knees and just prays and begs, God, have mercy on me. That's God's response to those two different kinds of people. And then Jesus ends this parable by saying something that is, honestly, is really famous. You're going to recognize it. Jesus, he said it three times in the Gospels, and every time he said it to the Pharisees, okay? Here's what he said. You guys are going to recognize it. Here's how he ends this. He says this, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That's his final phrase. So let me ask this to you. Which man are you? Now, before you answer that, let me just say this. Most of us are great Pharisees, okay? I am too. We're great Pharisees. We know how to clean ourselves up. We know how to do all the churchy things, say all the churchy words. We're in front of church people. We know how to sing. We know how to pray. We know how to lift up our hands. And that last song, I looked around the room. So many people were raising their hands. What's your life like when you leave this place? Right? We know how to do those things. We know how to make our family and our faith look picture perfect for the world to see. We know all the angles. We know how to fake spiritual fruit in our lives. We know how the lighting should be just right. We know how to set the scene. We know how to put on those filters so that people see a certain version of ourselves. But here's the cold, hard truth. You can fake out a lot of people, but you can't fake out God. You can't. You can fake out other people. All of us, we do that all the time. We're faking each other out constantly, but you cannot fake God out. Here's the best part. You don't have to. You don't have to fake God out. Because he isn't asking you to impress him. He's asking you to come to him in humility. Look, we need to stop pretending that we're God's gift to himself. Okay? I know. God, you're welcome, God. You're welcome for the life I'm living, right? We need to be more like the tax collector. Before the tax collector prayed, he didn't clean himself up. Instead, he came and he bowed down and he got real with God and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says that he got up and he went home right with God. Look, perhaps the most life-changing thing you can do right now is just stop faking it. To take off whatever filter that has been convicting you in this moment. To stop pretending, stop comparing yourself to other people, stop trying to impress other people. People don't need to be impressed by you. You know what they really need? You know what this church needs? You know what your family needs from you? You know what your spouse and your kids need from you and your coworkers need from you? They just need the real you. If you truly want to walk in faith and show Jesus to the world, one of the best ways you can do that, one of the best ways you can connect with other people is through your weaknesses. I'm not saying to go air out your dirty laundry on social media. That's not what I'm saying. But just to be real with people. Come alongside people. Let them see the authentic you. Because what that does is is it puts you in your rightful place, that you're a sinner just like them in need of a Savior. Some of us today, we need to pray. In fact, I would say all of us need to pray. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Whether you know Jesus or not, we need to pray that prayer every day. Some of us in this room, we might need to pray that prayer right now for the very first time because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've been trying to do this on your own. You've been trying to live a religious good life as if that is going to make it. It's not. Nothing can get you right with God except for Jesus' sacrifice. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Somebody in this room needs to pray and ask God for salvation today. Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I want to accept that free gift of salvation and trust in you for the very first time. Someone needs to pray that today. You know what? A lot of us need to also pray that same kind of prayer for restoration. We're believers in Jesus, but man, if people really saw the real us, man, it would not be pretty. We need to ask God to convict us of the filters that we're putting out, the fakeness, and say, God, I want to get real with you. He already knows, God. He knows. He knows everything. Why are we trying to fake it? And may that give us the courage to live real lives so that other people can see Jesus in us. Let's pray. God, you're good. You're holy. You're perfect. So we come before you right now, and I pray for anyone, God, who's never trusted in you. They see, they saw baptisms happen today of people who have stopped trusting themselves and trusted in you, who died on the cross to pay for their sins. It's a free gift that can only be received through faith. So I pray that today they would pray a prayer of faith in the best way that they know how, to ask you, God, to forgive them of their sins. Even the sin of trying to be good enough. And accept your free gift of forgiveness. Jesus dying on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. I pray, God, that you would save them. Holy Spirit would come into their life and renew them and make them different. They live the rest of their life for you and know that their eternity in heaven is secured because of what Jesus has done for them. And God, I pray for us Christians who are still terrible sinners. That's all of us. It's the rest of us in this room. God, we need you every day. We need to come before you, bow down and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I want my relationship to be fixed. I want the thing that's blocking my relationship with you to be torn down. I want to take the filters away. I want to be honest with you, God, with my struggles. And God, I want to be honest with other people so that people can see Jesus in me instead of the fake version of me. And I pray, God, that you would get all the glory for that as we leave this place. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.